The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
All right, Joe and Sam, time for radio, and we're going to ignore the troll for now and just do the strategy preview segment and get on the radio here in 5, 4, 3.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. Online at WTK.com. Sam, with Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side. And if you aren't following us on our video stream, folks, it takes this segment and the segments in which we pull out, you know, our video platform takes it to another level. I mean, you get a chance to, the interaction is more instant, it's more personal. And then these breakdowns, like we're about to do with our good friend Joe Simon, are taken to another level as well. You can follow our video stream on WTK.com, also on Twitter, also on Facebook Live, also on YouTube on the Michigan Insider YouTube page, and you can follow along on our video platform. And joining us, as he does every single Friday, for the Michigan Football Breakdown from the law offices of Joseph A. Simon, Joe Simon himself. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you too, Joe. Before we dive in, I think you hear me talking about your expertise, your not only your knowledge of the law, but your ability to articulate it and apply it for your clients as one of the best when it comes to criminal defense around, certainly the best in this area. But you tell people about what you offer, how they can find you if they need you. Tell them about the law offices of Joseph A. Simon.
Sam, as much of a privilege it is to do this breakdown and a wonderful distraction, my day job, which goes well into the night, is criminal defense. It's all we do, primarily in Washtenaw County, but all surrounding counties as well. That's anything from misdemeanor cases to felony cases, nothing too small, nothing too big. We are known for tireless effort in the courtroom, tireless effort behind the scenes, and great results, because those are the kind of things necessary to build great results. You can find us at themichigandefenders.com.
All right, folks, themichigandefenders.com. There you have it. Now let's, before we start breaking down specific plays, just let's broad brush it, Joe, because we had you on the pregame show, and you said this game was kind of like a barometer. Mm-hmm. It was really going to raise or lower, you know, the ceiling for this team as far as you were concerned. I mean, it was going to give you a good idea of what they could be. So based on what you saw, where are you with this Michigan football team now?
You're exactly right. I think I phrased it, who are we likely versus who do we expect to be? And we postulated a lot of questions that we'll go through. And I think we answered very, very well that we are likely on the right path, that our offense is taking hold, that our quarterback was developed and is improving and can do the things that we were wondering could he do, that the offensive line did take the progression that we wanted them to take. And most of all, Sam, last year we asked ourselves many times in this breakdown, where is the speed in space? We heard the mantra, but didn't see it on the field so much. But boy, did we see it here. And that is very encouraging.
Yeah. What about Joe Milton specifically, Joe? Just, again, relative to expectations, and I think you sort of answered the question already, but just your specific thoughts on him and how he performed in his first game as a starter.
So, first of all, I thought he was great. What I was looking for was development. Did he have tools in his arsenal besides the one that we knew he had, which was the rocket arm? He threw a laser on the sideline to Sinstrel that was amazing, but we kind of expected he had that laser throw. But I have on one of the clips on the MichiganDefenders.com something called the bucket throw, and this we did talk about pregame last week. Can he make that throw? Can he throw over the linebackers and drop it in front of the safeties? And while the throw that I have on the clip isn't perfect, it's extremely well done. And beautifully, ABC had the behind the play camera angle so that you could see what he saw and how he had to throw over the outstretched linebacker's hand, drop it over that and underneath the safeties. That was a big conversion. to me, that was an important thing to highlight because it was a skill set we didn't know that he had, but he does have it. It has been developed. And lastly, I just want to say there were two other touchdown throws that he had, right? So in other words, play where he dropped it and Ronnie Bell's turf monster tackle. He had two more explosive plays than ended up in the record book.
Yeah. All right. So I want to start getting into the breakdown, Joe. Again, folks, you can find the videos over on the MichiganDefenders.com. Again, the MichiganDefenders.com. And we can start getting into this football breakdown, Joe. So, all right, let's go ahead and start getting into it.
All right, Sam, I'm going to try this. Hopefully people can see who are following on the live stream. One of the clips is the Charbonnet TD. If this can be seen, you can follow along with us here, but it's also at the MichiganDefenders.com. Sam, I really put this play on for you, not only because it was a great play, but I also I get the feeling this is one of your favorite plays in this scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So this is setting the stage. Minnesota's blocked the punt, scored. It's 7-0, and we're thinking, oh, boy, here we go. And then this is Michigan's first down answer. And there are so many things to go through on this play. So I'm just going to go through it a little bit. We have the first thing that I highlight is Mason is lined out at the wideout and he's in motion. Mm-hmm. Why is that important? Well, Sam, when he goes in motion, I've also highlighted the defensive back. So you got a pre-snap read from your quarterback of the coverage. But what does it generally tell you when the defensive as a quarterback, when the back is coming over with the motion?
It's man-to-man.
It's man-to-man coverage. And here's what I love about that, because you do have this is his first time on the field, or not the first series, but this is his first game. This is a coach, I think, also assisting a quarterback, helping him make reads. And I love that. And the other thing about where he ends up in the play is he becomes the tight end. And this is one of your favorite things, Sam. I think the next thing is going to be showing from behind up before we go in the play. So we're pulling the backside guard on this. And by the way, I just want to say something real quick. The unsung hero of the game, a lot of people are saying Mason. I think our center, the Stardust, if that's how you say his name, mm-hmm. had an amazing game. And I hope I get to talk about more of the things he did. Mm-hmm. But so we're going to have – so we know we're in man-to-man. We're going to have the backers coming up. And I've highlighted the backside guard because in the pin and pull, his primary look is for the play side backer. That's the coaching point. But watch what ends up happening. Watch what Mason does and watch how this play becomes so successful. So as we're following along for people who can't see the video, Mason has absolutely cleaned the backers. And now Filiaga is making his read. Backer's not there, and now he's cleaning up the safety. It's not a fair fight. And do we have speed and space? Well, we all talked about Charbonnet's improved speed, and now I'm going to show this from the backside because I also want to show Milton here. Another great thing for Milton. So he brings in Mason. He's making his read. Now watch this, Sam. He actually still has the authority in this play. Well, I don't really know how Michigan. I'm not at practice, but in the play concept, he still has the authority to pull this and go. Mm-hmm. And he's making not only a read, unless this is a total bluff, which is a fine thing to do, by the way. He's doing it very well. I mean, he's making the correct read. But now take a look where Mason ends up and watch where the backside guard ends up on the clip. Look at the lane that is created. I mean, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. This is great stuff, Joe. it's great recognition that you saw with the fake there to hold that defensive end. You know, old school people will appreciate this because I mean, this is classic power. This is your gap scheme run, Joe, that, you know, where you see the meshing and the melding of a couple of different schemes. And you just pointed out all of the pertinent things in this play. I mean, you brought in Ben Mason from the outside. He has the kick out of that five. He executes great. You talk about the offensive line and Chuck Filiaga, who you highlight, who comes around on that play. and cleans up the blitzer. And there's an alley the size you could drive a truck through. I mean, it's just a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous execution of this play. And the thing, if you can back it up a little bit, Joe, just back it up to the wide view, because you pointed out all the great stuff on the inside of that play, which is how the play starts. If you don't get that great blocking on the inside, but man, those receivers on that play, Joe. So if you point up to the, you go up to the slot and you look at the two receivers, you look at Giles Jackson and the block that he get, that one. Look at that block. That block, and then at the bottom you see Roman Wilson with a block. Those two blocks allow it to go to distance.
Well, first of all, Sam, that's a great observation. First of all, on the bottom, that's an important part of the pin and pull. But this block that you pointed about by Jackson, now we talked about how Michigan's receivers are small and fast. He's one of those that fits in that category. But who is that block on, Sam?
It's a linebacker.
A linebacker, a big linebacker. And yeah, You're completely correct. And ABC did give some compliments, and I heard you talking this week on the Drives In about a lot of compliments to our blocking from our receivers. They deserve every bit of it throughout the game. They deserve every bit of it. Yeah. In fact, Sam, you know that I was kind of critical of our bubble screen play last year because it wasn't very effective. That wasn't true in this game, and that's largely the reason why.
Yeah, it was a great answer. You saw great speed from Zach Charbonnet. Great play to pick out, Joe, and kind of a tone setter with the way that they were able to run the football on the day.
Definitely. Sam, I maybe Ira can watch me on time, because there's a few things to get here, and I don't know that I can continue the screen share because I'm not great at it. But I do want to talk about the bucket throw real quick for anyone who can see it. We already talked about it, but bucket throw is on the MichiganDefenders.com, and this is Milton. And I just highlight Milton. He's sitting in the pocket, and we have a lineman with an arm up. Sure, that's normal. And he's going to have a linebacker to throw over. And we have our receiver in that gap between linebacker and safety. Now, this is a straight zone defense, cover two, nothing fancy. But the question coming into the game, does Milton have this throw? And I not only does he have the throw, he executes it very well. If you even look at his follow through, that's not a follow through trying to deliver a line drive. That's a follow through trying to make a touch throw. It goes right over the linebacker, and watch the arc of the ball. It drops down. And
can you share your screen again, Joe?
I'll do my best, Sam. We'll try that right now.
And see if we can get the assist from Mr. Weintraub. Otherwise, folks, you can follow on the MichiganDefenders.com. Again, the MichiganDefenders.com. Click the video link. There we go. Now you're sharing it, Joe. Click the video link, and he is on bucket throw. The play that Joe is going over is bucket throw. So if you go through that.
So as I was saying, when we have him dropping back in the pocket, he's got two people to throw over. He's got the lineman who's got his arm up. And then this guy, I've highlighted the linebacker, the middle linebacker here. They're in a straight zone. Here are the linebackers in zone. Here are the two deep coverage here. Our receiver is coming across between coverages. And that's the design of the play. But I was asking folks to watch the way that Milton delivers the ball. And I don't know. There we go. It froze. And how he threw over the outstretched linebacker and dropped the ball in between coverage. And the ball flight is exactly what you want. I'm going to try to back that up because I want people to watch the flight of the ball. It goes up and comes down. You're going to say, well, that's simple. It's not simple. Mm-hmm. It is not simple for the quarterback to watch the position in the pocket, ball, throwing over linemen, throwing over a linebacker, and dropping it under the safety. That is not something I saw from Milton yet last year, and that is a far more difficult thing to train if somebody is a natural long ball thrower. Why do I love this so much? It shows his development. And we had a lot of talks about coming into this game. This is the first start by a Michigan quarterback that Jim Harbaugh natively recruited. And the development, he's been in the program for a while. It's happening. That's a great thing.
Hey, Joe, can you back up real quick to that, to the backfield shot with is this one right there. What sticks out to me is you see one of the biggest differences with Joe Milton. Joe Milton is 6'5".
Mm-hmm.
He's 6'5", Joe. So what you see with some of the smaller quarterbacks, and this is, I mean, this is not just something that is exclusive to shorter quarterbacks, but they throw in lanes. So you see like the lane to the left and the right, yep, of the wash. So you might see some quarterbacks throw in those lanes. But Joe Milton, because of his stature, because of his height, he could be right there, right back in the pocket and throw over the offensive line. So he doesn't even have to be in these lanes to be able to get a ball down the field, to be able to see down the field, and also to get over the outstretched arms as well. We're going to see fewer block passes, and we're going to have a guy who can see the field better as well. And that's not to disparage or denigrate smaller guys. Being a smaller guy, I'm partial to smaller guys. But my point is, what you get when you have a quarterback that can see over everything like Joe can.
Sam, that's a very good point, but his physical attributes only provides him the capability. The question is, could he make the performance?
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And that's the wonderful thing to see.
Absolutely.
I'm going to try to continue the screen share, but every time I get out of a clip, it's going to be weird. But I'm going to go to the defense real quick, Sam, if I can. Is that showing? Is that displaying?
Now it is. Yep.
Okay. So this is called different but same. Sam, I'm going to set the stage for people who can't watch the video. It's 14-7 Michigan. Mm-hmm. Minnesota kept answering Michigan. It's 2nd and 10 on the 10-yard line, Minnesota's own 10-yard line. So in before this play, I'm thinking, oh, boy, are we going to see the things that make me kind of anxious? Are we going to see us bring in everyone, leaving the middle of the field vacant, allowing for a crossing route? Oh, no, please, no. And right off the snap, I say, wow, look, the linebackers are dropping off into coverage. Mm-hmm. So this is what's different, and I found that rewarding. But the strange thing about this play, and Sam, I've looked at it 4 times at least, and I still don't understand this. I want everyone to note who can follow us. We're in 2-deep coverage. We use – this is Hill I'm pointing to because Hill was coming over to double up on Bateman a lot of the game. Hawkins is the other safety. We've got 2 linebackers, Viper on the line. Here's what's weird about this play. I thought we were just going to stay in 2-deep and go, but we create a man-on-man situation here that ends up in a negative play for us and a huge chunk play for them because Hawkins is walking up, Sam. And when he walks up, I'm thinking, are they going to safety blitz here? But here's the thing that's weird. He comes up and kind of freezes. So he walks up pre-snap. We know that Hill's going to come over to the bottom. And watch Hawkins. He stays kind of in zone, like the zone a linebacker would be. The thing that bothered me about this play by design, unless Hawkins is making an error, he's not coming. He's kind of staying there. He's also not retreating with the receiver. We end up with 2 linebackers that are in zone coverage that there's no crosser, so they don't have utility. Could have been a delayed blitz there or whatever. And then Hawkins sort of on an island creating a one-on-one. I'm not sure what happened there, but that's what I meant by different but same. By if that was designed, we created an opportunity for them that I don't think we should have created.
Yeah, I don't. I guess I don't know what the call was. To be able to say what the thought process was there, but I guess when I look at the outcome, I look at how Jamon Green was in. That was just an example of a guy being in position and losing the football. I thought Jamon Green had a pretty good day. I'm curious what you thought. But he was in position, underthrown football, receiver, saw the ball, located the ball, and made the play. But this wasn't an example of a guy just getting flat beat, which is maybe not much consolation in the grand scheme of things. But I was heartened by the kind of coverage that we saw from Jamon Green on the day.
I don't disagree with you, Sam, but when somebody's trying to catch up and when you have a game that we have coming up tomorrow where a team is going to take 50-50 ball shots, I'm saying that we should limit the ability for them as much as possible in game situation like that, 2nd and 10 on their own 10, momentum way favoring Michigan. I don't think we want to even create the opportunity for a chunk or momentum play. And I honestly don't know. I mean, listen, I'm not over there in the meeting rooms at Schimbeckler Hall. That was a very curious play to me, and that's why I put it up there.
All right. What we need to do, let's Ira, are we going to pause for the cause? Do we need to pause right here and then come back and pick it up on the other side?
No, Sam, you've got 15 good more minutes with Joe Simon right now here live on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Sports Talk 1050 WTK The Ticket.
All right, let's go ahead and get right back into the breakdown, Joe.
All right, I'm hoping that I did the screen share again. I'm hoping we can see this next play.
Mm-hmm.
This is 42-24. Michigan's up pretty convincingly, but Minnesota keeps answering the bell. There are a couple of plays I've put in here. One's called Trouble with the Edge, and one's called Trouble with the Edge 2. I could have put in a lot more of these. This is something that we're going to have to get right. If you're a coach that's watching film from this game and you're trying to scheme for Michigan's defense, you're going to say, well, this is how we're going to try to hit them. Also, I want to remind everyone that Michigan State has a good tight end. It's Dotson. Is that his name? He's good, and he seems to be the favored receiver. So he, you know, watch what happens in these plays. And we had a number of them. So I'm just going to progress through the play, and I highlight our backside edge. Now, we have a good wall established by Minnesota and a good seal from the tight end against our Viper. Now, you know, in a cutback or in this offense, you know, the line zone blocking to one direction, the back may find the double team and follow it, or can cut back as in the pin and pull. And we have essentially a one-on-one situation to address. And the thing that's interesting about this offense is open field tackling. I think even Urban Meyer said this. It's more crucial in everything. Your speed and space and the concept of spread offense is creating isolations. So each player assignment becomes enormous, where before you could kind of hide with your numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't set this edge well. This is not good leverage.
Yeah.
It's not a good approach to the ball, and yeah. Way overran, and yeah, and yeah. Then we have, yep.
You know, that was a freshman.
Right.
A freshman mistake. He was in position to make that play.
I agree.
And just got caught inside, was not leveraging the football correctly. You know, I think that they are going to say, outside arm, young man, play that with outside leverage. And I just think that was inexperience in the moment. Kind of showing up on that particular play. But to your point, that wasn't the only time that we saw Michigan have issues, right?
Right. And I'm going to pull up the other one. It's called Trouble with the Edge 2. This is third and two, and it's 21-10 Michigan in the second quarter. And a few things to highlight here is our angles of approach. I've highlighted Hawkins in the tight end and Hawkins' approach on this play. And I think this is an inside zone play, Sam. I don't have my notes, but I see the back behind the quarterback, so I think this is an inside zone play.
This is anyway. I do this all the time, Joe. This is duo. This is duo, oh. And duo and inside zone very, very easy to confuse. But yeah, this play jumped out to me because it looks a lot like Ohio State. it looks a lot like Ohio State, man. To me.
Well. I agree with you, and it's something we've had trouble with, and it's something that we're not doing well so far. Again, I point out the tight end for a reason, and I hope I didn't say his name wrong, but Dotson is a good tight end for Michigan State. And so even the tight end doesn't really make the block that I've highlighted on Hawkins. It's just that Hawkins got a bad angle to the play. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's under it. Not he's under the play, and I've also highlighted the lane that is eventually created, because now all you have is a one-on-one block possibility here, and there's just that's not giving up the edge, that's way giving up the edge in my view.
And that play is designed to hit to that side. It's designed to get the back one-on-one with the corner, and you just had. To your point, and it's a great highlight where you had Brad Hawkins just getting caught way, way too inside. He you know, that gap needed to be widened some to kind of stretch that running back to allow his team to rally a little bit. But they took advantage of me. Michigan is a fast flow team. And that play, that duo play, is a gap play. So they're going back the other way by design. And man, it was a touchdown. It was a touchdown. And it could you say that maybe he got blocked in the back? You could kind of say that. But it looked a lot to me like it, you know, to point out the issue. You remember back in the Ohio State game where it was in that game, it was Khalik Hudson getting caught inside on those duo plays and really surrendering the edge. It was a different issue than what we saw with the Makari Page, who was right there to make the play and just didn't leverage the football correctly. This was a guy trying to make a play, trying to beat a block and lost his gap by trying to beat that block and really gave up the outside. Something to be mindful of, to your point, Joe, and a great one, that if there was a maybe the a sore spot in the run game, I would say the biggest one would be on the edge. But what did you think about this, Joe? And you kind of pointed, I think Michigan was very sensitive in this game to the passing game, the pass part of the RPO game. And really hanging back, keeping linebackers back in order to prevent Minnesota from exploiting them through the air. And it kind of, again, as I said earlier in the week, I think it puts a lot of pressure in your defensive line to get off blocks and make plays. And that wasn't always, if it wasn't Aiden Hutchinson or Quiddy Pay in the run game, you just didn't see guys doing that quite as often.
So first of all, you're right. They did make a decided effort to do that. But what I, you know, as critical as I am of bringing all the linebackers and vacating the middle of the field, I'm also not in favor of having linebackers back up in a zone for no utility. I've often talked about using a delayed blitz, and why I'm so in favor of that is if you have a linebacker that's backing up into his coverage and nothing's coming across, then send them. And I would like to see us do more of that, because why? We have linebackers that are experienced enough and smart enough to make those reads and to do those things. And guess what else they are? Fast. So if they took a delayed lane to the quarterback, they can get there. And I would like to see a little more of that, because they are a little smaller, so they may not handle the beef so much as well. But I think that is well suited to their skill set. So I'd like to see a little more of that.
So, Joe, I mean, the running game, the run defense, you know, there are some things for them to work on there, mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, talking about doing a better job, you know, on when it comes to setting the edge and defending against outside runs. Or when you talk about the interior defensive line getting off blocks and making plays. We can kind of see those things. I guess the biggest, the most glaring thing coming out of that game, Joe, as far as things to fix, the kicking game. I mean, Michigan 0-for-3 on field goal. What did you see as far as the special teams were concerned?
So, yeah, right. Not only that, the good news, Sam, is we only punted once. The bad news is sort of.
Kicking was not a good thing for Michigan on Saturday.
Yeah, and it was a surprise to see the misses, because two of them in particular I don't think were warranted. That's got to get, you know, that's 9 more points, right? So that really has got to get fixed in a hurry. And as we have seen, even with Minnesota continuing to answer and to continue and drive in Michigan, offense, like I said pregame last week, is no longer a luxury, the ability to score points. It's become a necessity. We've seen this all through college football. I don't care the school. I don't care the program. We've got to be able to put up 35, 45 points week to week. So this is the most encouraging thing. But, yeah, if we don't get that kicking game, I also noticed we had no kickoffs that went to the end zone. They were all short of the end zone. I think that's an issue too. Now, I don't know if Quinn Nordine is going to come back and do the long kicks. I don't know, but I like to see that. I do want to say one more thing on the offensive line, because I forgot to say it. Our pass protection was quite good in this game, mm-hmm. consistently, even handling blitzes. And that was, you know, we had a lot of questions about the offensive line. That was really great to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, Joe, the one time he got sacked was when he left the pocket, right? I mean, it's.
And I think a little too early. Yep.
Yeah, it was a very, very strong debut for that offensive line. And I said earlier in the week, you know, you're at the point now with Ed Warner. You know, I mean, that guy just coaches his ass off. It's just you can expect for the offensive line to never be a weakness. Now, how much of a strength it is, you know, I mean, I imagine that can fluctuate depending on combination of experience, right? Experience and talent level, how good they are. But I don't think they'll ever be bad as long as Ed Warner is coaching.
Sam, let's go a year ago at this time. Our offensive line did not fully understand the concepts of the new offense and were not blocking the right people. Through the first few games, first game on the road, new personnel. I know it's the second year of the system, but boy, was that a great performance across the board, to your point. So both credit to Warner and Gattis, both.
Yeah, it was a virtuoso offensive performance, which brings us to your thoughts on this upcoming game against Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, again, I've said you respect them as an opponent. You know, they have some talent on that team. They don't have as much talent as they've had in the past. Ira asked me this morning, did D'Antonio leave it better than he found it? And my answer was no. He did not leave it better than he inherited a 4-8 football team from what Ira told me. This team doesn't have a chance of winning a third of their games this year, in my opinion. And it's because I think the talent level is severely depleted. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't play inspired football. But what does that mean in this game? And what, if any, particular or specific threat do you think they pose to Michigan in this contest?
Sam, I think you've been trying to get the trash talker out of me for years, and this is as close as I'm going to get. He did leave it with less talent than he found it, but that was not his choice. He got the talent under his tenure because he was allowed to get it by our fall. Mm-hmm. And last year, we talked about how important the game was last year. And if we would look back in history, I said, if we did what we needed to do, win and win decisively, we would look back and see it as the demarcation point that the tide had really officially turned. And I think that is exactly true. It's what happened and reflective of the talent returning to Michigan. You know, I sponsored the recruiting roundup, but you're the guy who follows it. It's state, region, national. We didn't have possession of the state of Michigan. We got it back or we're securing it. And for this game, we need to stand on – this is where I get my trash talk, Sam. Here it comes. We need to stand on their throat here. I don't care that they're down. We need to carry the arc that we've begun. Make sure that it's the demarcation point. We don't know how many games we're going to get in this year. We don't know if we're going to have our full complement of players. Last week I said, but it looks like we're going to get at least the first two games in. Well, this is important to do what we need to do. And to your point, here's where we exploit them on the direct answer on talent. Their offensive line was mandled by Rutgers' defensive front.
Exactly right.
And the other thing is their defensive line was mandled. And this is where we need to immediately take control of the game. And I think good things will happen after that.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see how many points Michigan can score in this contest. And I don't think that is being overconfident. I think it is being cognizant of how inept Michigan State's defense looked last week when Rutgers can score 38 points on you. I don't think people, Joe, really understand how ridiculous Rutgers scoring 38 points in any FBS game, the notion of that is. And who close to that last year, as I've been saying, look, 67 points in 10 FBS games last year, and they scored 38 in one against Michigan, or in one against Michigan State. And then you look at Michigan last week, Joe, and we just laid it out. I mean, 10 consecutive drives. After the block punt, the next 10 drives, or either touchdowns or field goal attempts. I mean, something's got to give here, right? I mean, I'm not being boastful or overconfident thinking that there's a good chance that Michigan scores a lot of points in this game.
So if all things remain, if we have the personnel available that we think we're going to have, if there's no crazy amount of turnovers, if all things remain constant, yeah, I think you're exactly right. Now, I still have to play the game, but yes, this suits up well for us, and I think we need to do just what we want them to do to carry the trajectory we are on. And, due respect to Michigan State. You and I have talked about it on air. I think we talked about it in that panel discussion last year when life was normal, Sam, up at Ascend. But the point is, I truly believe, and I'll take on any Sparties who want to talk about it more, they could not have ascended without our descent. That was a proportional relationship.
Absolutely. Joe, I mean, there's no question. It was an opportune time for Mark D'Antonio, his arrival coinciding with Lloyd Carr's retirement and the hiring of Rich Rodriguez, allowed for him to get a foothold on in-state recruiting, especially in the city of Detroit. And so he got a lot of talent from the Detroit area and then throughout the state in that time. And not only was Michigan, shut out in Southeast Michigan, they were getting shut out in the state. I mean, think about other guys they didn't get, like Anthony Zettel and Jake Fisher. I mean, these are guys that went on to be NFL guys that Michigan wasn't getting. So even the guys that didn't go to Michigan State, Joe, weren't going to Michigan. That is a prime opportunity. And then the other thing that Michigan State was able to do, Joe, was they were able to go down to Ohio and get the guys that maybe Ohio State didn't want. But it was that next tier. Now they aren't getting those guys. They're going down to Ohio and losing guys to Cincinnati. And you see the results. It is a talent-depleted program. Doesn't mean that they can't play inspired. Doesn't mean that they won't play better against Michigan, Joe. I think both of those things are true. I just don't think it'll be enough to make this game close.
If all things stay constant, Sam, I think you're completely correct. So all we have to do is take care of the ball and – you know, they say the greatest improvement over a season is between week one and week two. Well, if this offense improves, look out.
Absolutely. Joe, looking forward to talking to you tomorrow, man.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that too. I'm actually going to take off in a little bit, go to actual court, not virtual court. But this has been a difficult – listen, this is such a great distraction for me, and I hope it's helpful to the program because it's a nice little respite from me from the crazy hours that I've been keeping lately on the day job. But now it's time to get back to that day job.
Now go put your pants on, Joe.
Before you go, Joe, tell people about that day job. If they need the law offices or the services of Joseph A. Simon, how can they get you?
MichiganDefenders.com or 734-887-6200. Full service criminal defense, Sam. That's anything from misdemeanor to felony, traffic offenses, certainly drunk driving. But traffic offenses include a whole bunch of misdemeanors beyond that. Nothing too small or too big, primarily Washtenaw County and all surrounding counties. We're available 24/7, and we like to think that we're your best choice if you ever find you or a loved one find yourself in that situation.
Absolutely. All right, Joe, great stuff as always. We need to get to a break. We'll come back on the other side here, pick things up. A lot more still to come on the show. A lot of great guests throughout the day as this is Fantastic Friday here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.